Good morning. It is a pleasure to be back and to be worshiping here in person and online with you this morning. If you have your bulletins, please pull those out. Go to the center page, and there's an opportunity for you to be able to follow along with some notes this morning. But as we begin, I want to share with you just a little bit of gratitude that's in my heart as we've had an opportunity for the last 2 weeks to be away. The first week was a study time, an opportunity for me just to really spend some time in prayer and planning about what is to come. Second was a time of Thanksgiving with our family and going back to be with grandparents and brothers and sisters and all that. It was a wonderful opportunity, but it was bookended by a couple of bumps. And you may remember on the 15th, we had our worship service. I spoke, and then my family, we quickly packed up, and we raced out to Arkansas, where the next day, two of my boys were going to do a campus tour of Harding. I was going to begin my study and prayer time, and then my kids and my wife were going to go on to Kansas to visit family. Well, as we are driving out to Arkansas, each mile we go, one of my sons, Luke, starts to feel a pain in his stomach that grows stronger and stronger. And by the time we finally got to there, we had to go straight to the ER and found out that he had an appendicitis and was going to have his appendix removed later the next day, Monday morning. And so that kind of just pushed their trip back a little bit by one day. And so I tell everybody, really, if you're going to have a surgery while you're out on the road, have an appendectomy, because it barely slowed us up just a moment. And he was back up and running in no time flat. We go through that week. Kara and the boys go off to visit family. I stay there at Harding. My oldest is in school there, and he's finishing up the week. And as he gets to the end of the week, he goes and takes a COVID test to make sure that he's going to be safe to go spend time with grandparents and relatives. And we get the test results back, and they came back negative. And so he and I jump in the car Saturday, and we head up to Kansas to visit with Kara's family. We have a wonderful time, and then Monday we head down to my folks, and we spend Monday, Tuesday, and then Wednesday we wake up, and now my oldest, the one who has just got out of college, is starting to run a little bit of a fever, and we're like, uh-oh, now what? So we decide we better not stay with family and put anybody at harm's way, and so we jump in the car, and we start to make our way back. And I tell everybody, on Thursday, Thanksgiving, we did have turkey sandwiches at Subway as we were driving. But we got home safely, and Friday he goes in, takes another COVID test. It comes back again negative. Surprise, surprise, there are other germs running around besides COVID at this time. Who knew? And so by Saturday he was feeling much better. Sunday we are just waiting for the test results, and the test results came back Sunday afternoon saying, all clear in our house. So we're thankful for your prayers. We're thankful for the time away. I'm especially thankful for this guy back here in the tech booth, Kyle, for the last two Sundays and his ability to speak. Isn't that been a wonderful encouragement for us as a congregation? Think about this for just a moment. A youth minister, his job is to deal with the generation, the group younger than him. And so there is a generation gap that's going on. But in order to deal with these kids, these students, he also has to take care of building relationship with these parents, and that's another generation gap. And so his ministry is pretty far afield as he deals with the youngers and olders as he's working. And oftentimes that is a very successful youth minister. But to be able to come in and to speak to a full congregation of all the way olders and all the way youngers and do that so well for two weeks in a row is a rare and special treat. So I thank you, Kyle, for that. It is a wonderful opportunity to partner with someone who loves the Lord and who speaks so passionately about his convictions. And so I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful to my elders who gave us the opportunity to see the need for us just to take a little bit of a respite and have some time in study and be away. And they were flexible enough to devote this opportunity for us. They have been involved. Our elders have been involved in this whole process of deciding and acting and sometimes even having to react as we've gone throughout this year. And they have been using wisdom and prayer. They have been involved in a variety of conversations. They've been trying to connect with us as a congregation in the best ways that we know how. And I'm thankful for their flexibility. I'm thankful for their encouragement throughout the year. I want to start off today by not really in a sermon, but I want to share with you a couple things that this last week has shown me about God being at work. God is involved in a lot. And 2020 has shown us that this has been a challenging year, right? But God has shown us that He is still at work, right? And I'm going to pause right there so you can affirm. This has been a challenging year and God has still been at work, right? And so I want to just share with you a couple things that I've seen since returning back. A couple years ago, the Sawinskis, Margaret and Joe, helped start a AA group meeting here. This little group met on Tuesdays and Thursday nights. There was 4, 5, 6, maybe 8, 10 that were gathering as need be. Well, as COVID happens, as the opportunities for us to meet together, we're not for sure exactly how things are supposed to happen. And so that group had decided to stop. Throughout this time, there has been another group that has also been forced out of their location, unable to meet and gather in person. And so they have been gathering outside in a local park. And throughout the spring, throughout the summer, and throughout the early part of the fall, that worked okay except for those days that it rains. And boy, this year we've had a lot of rain, haven't we? But it's also been getting colder and colder. And so Margaret was able to work together with this group and with our leaders. And now, this past week, we started up a new AA group meeting for a lot larger of a crowd. It's still a small crowd, but every day they've been coming in and meeting here. And those people who need help and encouragement along their way have been finding that here. And I'm so thankful for our leadership for opening up that. Thursday, we had a blood drive. This blood drive was really scheduled for October, but because of some of the COVID stuff that was going on, we had to push that back, and so it was scheduled for December 3rd. December 3rd just so happened to be a week where our leader, Nick Mattaccioni, was out of town, and so he called me and said, "Matt, would you fill in?" And so I didn't know what to do, so I just stayed at the front door and greeted people and had a wonderful time getting to know the members that are giving and participating in this. And we've had 30 or 40 members who were serving in the blood drive or donating in the blood drive. And it was so exciting to watch the smiling faces and to see who was participating in that, who were so thankful for the opportunity to give to our community. I appreciate your heart and your willingness this past week. It was exciting to me as well to be able to talk to some of our community members who were coming in and participating in that blood drive. And as we finished the day, I had an opportunity to go sit on the table and give my blood. And this isn't some special preacher words that I had. It wasn't some special Jedi mind trick that I have. But I just sat on the table, and this worker, Red Cross worker, who didn't know me. I mean, I was participating with the regular church members, wasn't introduced as the minister, but she just starts to pour out that she grew up in a church family. And her grandparents were a part of a different church. And as she grew up and as she got older, she started to have some trouble in life, as we often do. And what she found in this church and this church was nothing but judgment and pushback. And so she started to share with me how she had decided that church was not for her. And then I had an opportunity to tell her about the South Fork family that I had just come to know and love. And while, yes, we are aiming for a high calling, as we are aiming for what God really desires in our life, as we know that we all fall short of the glory of God and we spur each other on for love and good deeds and a life that is right, we know that we mess up, don't we? And we sit in this room not as the perfect. We sit in this room as those who are the recipients of God's grace, and we welcome others to participate in that. And as we got to the end, she said, "You know, maybe South Fork might be a place that I would like to visit." And so I look forward to the day, maybe, where I get a chance to meet this individual at the door. welcome them into our family and help them find a church that is not so judgmental. I want to share with you one more thing about God being at work. And this is also another long story. You remember about a year ago our heater went out. That's why we're meeting in this room. I was so impressed with our leaders at that time because they saw that as an opportunity to make some changes that were needing to be made in our auditorium. There was some of the ceiling that was having some trouble, and it had some potential to be pretty disastrous. Carpet, other things that were needing to be made, updated, and then taken care of. The elders decided that we need to go ahead and investigate this. And as we started to move forward in figuring all of this out, how can we make the most of this opportunity while we're out of that room? COVID hit. And just as it hit, we got the notice about what all was going to take place in our auditorium. Before we get there, I want to ask, have you ever seen this pyramid about how we decide how to do things in business? The cost, the quality, and the speed. They say you can only choose two of these three characteristics. Either it can be cheap and it can be fast, but it won't be good quality. It'll be good quality and it'll be fast, but it won't be cheap. And so you can only choose two of these things. And so when we got our first bid back to make the renovations in our auditorium of $330,000, we realized that was a lot of money for us to pull the trigger, especially at the beginning of COVID. And so we decided that maybe that wasn't the best plan for us to go ahead and go down that road. And so we began to investigate some other alternatives of how we might be able to make the changes appropriately for that room so that we could gather back again and then use this as our multi-purpose room. Well, COVID has put a bunch of roadblocks in our way. And there have been delay upon delay. There has been groups that were supposed to come in and they would come down with a potential COVID case. And so they couldn't come in for 2 weeks, but then slow things down. And then the next group that was supposed to come in also had similar issues. And one right after another. There just has not been a whole lot to report until we finally got this latest bid of nearly $95,000. I want to ask you this question. I know it's been a year, but if we can get all the renovations done for $95,000 instead of $333,000, wasn't that year worth it? But to sound like, or not to sound like, a TV infomercial, but wait, that's not all. $95,000 is kind of the bit of what we need to do, but our leaders have decided, you know what, through this, we need to continue on with some of our work. And so over the course of time, we've spent about $25,000 to begin or to start or complete some of the projects that were included in that $95,000. And we've spent of your money because you have been so gracious over this time. You have continued to participate with us. Those that are online, those that are here, have continued to contribute to the work of this church. We've had the resources to pull the trigger. And we've spent about $25,000 towards that $95,000, leaving us with a little bit over $70,000 left to pay for the renovations of our auditorium. Doesn't that sound good? You've watched too many infomercials. You want one more. But wait, that's not all. Because several of our congregation have seen what has been going on. They know the original high cost of what was being asked of making those changes, those needed changes in our auditorium. And so already our congregation, several within our congregation, have made a pledge to commit $40,000 to the completion of our auditorium, leaving us with just almost $31,000 left to pay to finish that project off. Doesn't that sound great? Thank you, God. God is at work, and I'm so excited. And so over the next few weeks, as we finish out this year, I want to ask you, we need 15 homes We are a 100-family church. A few have already committed $40,000. We need 15 families to commit $1,000. We need 20 families to commit $500 in a special gift. We need 50 households to commit to giving $100 before the end of this year, and we will be fully funded. We will have all the money that we need to complete this task and get that job done. Doesn't that sound great? I'm excited about this opportunity. In this year, of all of the frustration that our renovation team has gone through, all the delays, all the heartache of what do we share with our church, here we are a year later saying we just need to pay 10% of the original cost and we can get this job done. And the people said, amen. I'm excited about that. This morning I want to talk to you about the gift. I want to share with you these two words, already and already. That God has already prepared us in advance for good works. Now that we want to be already, we want to be prepared, organized, mentally in sync, ready to join in with the work that He has for us. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, it says, each of you should use whatever gifts you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. This new series that we're going to be going through in here in December is talking about the gift, and you know it is Christmas time, and we're going to be talking about the gift of Christ in baby form, in incarnate, who comes into this world, as Carrie was speaking just a moment ago, and lives and is born and placed in this manger. We're going to be talking about the gift and what that means to the world, but I want to start with this idea first, that God has given you a gift, a lot of gifts. He has blessed you immensely, and it is a wonder and it's a blessing to share that on. And so, as I see 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, or chapter 4, verse 10, I see this and I kind of rewrite it, and I want you to write this down and think about this in your own life. Listen to this phrasing. I am already to use whatever gifts I have already received to serve others as a faithful steward of God's grace in its various forms. I am already to use whatever gifts I have already received to serve others as a faithful steward of God's grace in its various forms. What have you already received? What do you have in your possession that God has already blessed you with? I want to share with you several things this morning. I want to remind you of the blessing. I want you to go home and process through really what God has given you so that you start to see the opportunities that are in front of you, so that you start to understand what God has done for you. First is our physical. That God has blessed us in many ways with physical health. The breath that we have, the life that we have, the beat within our chest is a gift from God. And as we take care of our bodies, or for some of us, we don't take care of our bodies, God still continues to bless us sometimes in spite of our own failings. One of my favorite jokes is this guy who's been very good and diligent on his diet. Several weeks have gone by and he feels like he needs a reward. And so he prays to God, God, as I pass this Krispy Kreme, if you will make a parking spot right there in front of their front door, it'll be a sign for me that this is an opportunity for me to splurge. And sure enough, on the eighth time around Krispy Kreme, there was that parking spot. God has blessed us physically. God has blessed us intellectually. What happens inside our mind, the thoughts, the process, the learning, the growth that takes place. For many of us, this is our bread and butter. This is how we make our living. It is the process of our mind. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, that we have the mind of Christ. John would report Jesus talking to his disciples in John chapter 15, verse 15. And Jesus telling his disciples, he says, all things that I've heard of my Father, I've made them known to you. God has blessed us with an intellect. God has blessed us with emotions. God has blessed us with an opportunity to connect, to understand, to feel, and relate with one another. As we've gone through this year, you can see the look of in each other's eyes. You can feel the pain and the struggles that are going on in many of the homes. You know what's happening as we have gone through the loss of several of our members. We feel that emotion. That is a blessing from God that helps us understand and connect with one another in a whole new way. We are not robots, but God fills us with emotion, with love in our hearts. And last but not least, we're blessed spiritually. We sit in this room of like-minded believers. We are surrounded by men and women who see the unseen, who have faith in what is unknown. And though the world continues to throw questions at us, we stand firm. The hope that we have that we can be with our Father in heaven someday. Standing, sitting, joining around the throne room of God. We trust and we have an assurance that the tomb is empty, giving us hope in this difficult world. Sometimes this world seems meaningless, but the light of eternity, the light of a good and loving Father, the light of a truth that there is life after this. So we live by faith. This is a gift from God. So I want to ask you, I want you to be able to say, I want to be all ready to share the gifts that I've already received from God. It's not just a mental moment. It's not just the freshman who's entering college and so excited about taking on the world. No, it's really the senior who has finished all the coursework, who has done all the testing and exams, who have prepared themselves to enter in, who is now all ready. I want us to be all ready, prepared, decided, motivated, and excited about what God has placed before us, that He has already gifted us with these things in our life. Our physical, our intellectual, our emotional, and our spiritual blessings that we have in this life are an opportunity to share. And so as we go through these next points, I want to see this circle. As we see the great blessings that God has been working on in our congregation, we see these also in our life. And so I will decide to give ahead of time. I have decided ahead of time that I'm going to participate with God, that this day, this rest of the day is an opportunity for me to glorify God with my time, with my energy, with my means. I am going to participate. The things that I've learned, I'm going to share. I'm going to look for an opportunity for God to be involving me. I will regularly take stock of what I've received. Isn't that what the whole message of Thanksgiving has been? This whole last month, we start to review all the blessings that we have, the blessings of being with family, or this year, the remembrance that we are missing out of being surrounded by our family, looking at the material blessings, looking at the emotional blessings that we've been given. I will take regular stock of what I've received, and I will seek opportunities to give God's gifts daily and regularly. It's not just what happens inside this room, but it is a daily opportunity for us to participate with our friends and with our family, with our coworkers, as we share the blessings that God has given us. And I will celebrate when I experience this cycle completed. When I see someone come in for a blood drive who is needing a family who will love them. As I see a physical project take delay after delay after delay, only to come back with a cost of 1/10, I will celebrate in what God is doing. And so in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, as I rewrite this, I am all ready to use whatever gifts that I have already received to serve others as a faithful steward of God's grace in its various forms. We get a chance in just a moment to sing this song about how great is our God, because He really is a great God. We get a chance to remind one another that He is living and active. He is involved in our life. Despite the struggles and hardships that we see, we know that He is active. And so this morning, if there's any need or hurt within your life, our elders are here and they would love to talk with you and spend some time. Our office is open throughout the week. Please come by and let us spend time in prayer and counsel with one another. If there's anything that we can do, please don't let a moment go by. But this morning, let's stand together and let's celebrate the greatness of God as we sing this song together.
Lord, take my